Our next public hearing is change of zone number 1742, Seaside Communities. Is that supposed to be RPC, LLC?
RDC,
LLC. Okay, that's part of the name. Okay.
This is an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a MRRPC, medium density residential district residential plan community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 37.516 acres, more or less. The land lying northeast corner of Route 24, also known as John J. Williams Highway, and Tanglewood Drive, which is a private street providing access to Briarwood Estate Subdivision, and being identified on the tax rolls as tax map ID District 334, map 18, parcel 40. A gentleman, the commission was provided with an exhibit booklet. It was received on January 31st, 2014. The booklet contains a list of the project team, an executive summary, project overview, about which include the boundary survey or boundary plat, topographic and non-tidal wetland survey, an overview of current site conditions, a site analysis, DLDOT improvements, a copy of the PLUS preliminary land use service report, references to compliance with applicable regulations, statement of compliance with county regulations, a statement of compliance with Chapter 99 of the subdivision ordinance, a statement of compliance with the 2008 comprehensive land use plan update, and a statement of compliance with the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone. Also includes a conclusion statement, suggested proposed findings of fact and conditions of approval, some letters of support, and a series of maps, aerials, site plans, and photographs. The file also contains a series of letters that were received from DLDOT dated December 6, 2013, December 18, 2013, and February 5th of 2014. The file also contains a copy of the PLUS report dated August 21st, 2013, and a copy of the applicant's response to the PLUS report, and that was dated November 1st of 2013. I want to advise the commission that the department has requested that the technical advisory committee agencies provide their written comments to the department by March 20th of 2014. That's a requirement of the code since this is a residential plan community that goes through TAC. Also advise that the county engineering department utility planning division provided comments on February 10th. 2014, in reference that the site is located in the Goslin Creek planning area, that wastewater capacity is available for the project, that Ordinance 38 compliance will be required. The current system connection charge rate is $4,822 per EDU, that source service has not yet been extended to the Goslin Creek planning area, and that a connection point will be determined at a later date. Project is capable of being annexed into the SOAR district pending the completion of the Gosley Creek planning study. Conformity to the Gosley Creek planning study will be required. The project is located in the Gosley Creek planning area for SOAR service, and the county is undertaking a planning study to determine how service to the planning area will be provided. That the proposed project is included as a priority project in the study, and a means for providing service will be included as a work item. And upon completion of the study, the county engineering department expects to recommend a SOAR district expansion to include this parcel. That the county requires design and construction of the collection and transmission system to meet county SOAR standards and specifications. That the county engineer must approve the connection point. That a SOAR connection concept plan must be submitted for review and approval prior to design of the SOAR system. And that a checklist was provided with the memorandum for preparing concept plan. The one-time system connection charges will apply, and then a concept plan is required. I also advised the commission that the applicants had Solutions Integrated Planning, Engineering, and Management, LLC, also referred to IPEM, forward letters and concept renderings to the Briarwood Estates Property Owners Association Incorporated, Hart's Landing Homeowners Association, the Lewis Fire Department Incorporated, and the Cape Henlopen School District. in anticipation of receiving comments from those four bodies. I also advise that the Paul Townsend, president of J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company Frozen Foods, provide a letter in support of the application. And I will advise that I just did receive an email earlier. I received it at 4:15 today. We have an email from Stephen Britz. It's addressed to myself, and I'll just read it short. I'm opposed to the request to upzone this property from AR1 to MRRPC for the simple reason that traffic is frequently backed up along this stretch of Route 24. As it stands, the developers will be able to construct 75 dwelling units on this property, which in itself will exacerbate an already bad situation. Approval for still more homes is a privilege that must be weighed against the burden that will be imposed on the citizens of Sussex County. The traffic situation on Route 24 must be remedied. If developers want special consideration, then it is they, the people who will profit from development, who should pay for the improvements to Route 24, not the residents of surrounding communities who appear to have little influence. And that was signed by Stephen Spritz, or Britz, excuse me. And gentlemen, that's all I have. Is there a question?
All right, sir, we thank you.
Chair recognizes Mr. Byard. Before you begin, though, I would like to say that if there's anyone here that has an interest in this application, I think that there might be a few. It appears that there are exhibits on display. They're very difficult to see from where you are. So if you would like to get up, walk up to the exhibit, take a look, feel free to do so at any time. Just to ask that you not have any conversation while you're there, because we are going to continue with the hearing, but do feel free to get up and take a closer look at whatever exhibits that they happen to display. And with that, Mr. Byard, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Wheatley. Good evening, gentlemen. For the record, Gene Byard on behalf of the applicant. With me tonight from IPEM are Frank Key and Jason Palkowicz, project designer and engineer, and the project's environmental consultant, Ed Lane. Given the hour and the weather, I'd ask Frank to come forward. We have a fair amount of information to present, but we'll try to move it right along. Frank, if you could identify yourself for the record.
Yes, it's Frank Key with Solutions Integrated Planning, Engineering, and Management here in Georgetown.
Your credentials are in the record. Can you give the commission a quick overview of this portion of Route 24 and the 275 corridor?
Yes, the project is on what is currently known as the Windswept Farm, which is sort of catty-corner to Beacon Middle School. It's right kind of across the street from the Bellmead Horse Farm, and it's adjacent to the Briarwood and Hart's Landing projects or communities. It's also adjacent to, and I'll walk and point, the proposed new school site, which is here across from Beacon Middle, as well as the proposed state police and EMT site, which is off Mulberry Knoll Road.
So adjoining the property to the east is the proposed new Cape Henlopen School?
Yes.
And to the northeast would be the proposed new Troop 7.
Correct.
Right. Let's talk about the theme of or design of this project. It's your baby. What can you tell us about it?
Well, the project design, the land plan, was really topographically driven as much as anything else. There's, as you know, the Windswept Farm enters on the top of a ridge. The ridge goes back into the site and then falls off to the rear of the site where the Hetty Fisher Pond is. It also falls off to the south along Route 24 where there's a small wooded wetland. The intention was to create a stormwater management area where a small existing ornamental pond is, make that the central open space, orient the buildings in such a way that they live out the back to the amenity, which is the surrounding forest and the wetlands, and a landscape buffer, of course, along Tanglewood Drive. The amenity for the site, which is a pool and clubhouse, is on the top of the ridge so that it looks over the pond, which will be down below. The opening in the plan right as you enter is there to afford a view for those entering. And that's basically it. It's a
briefly, Frank, what is the clubhouse? Can you give us a little detail?
Yes, the clubhouse actually may be a portion of the barn that's there now. That's where the location of the facility is. It would be composed of probably a small office and some storage, a residentially styled kitchen, a meeting room, and a recreation facility and exercise room.
Are there similar type development projects in this corridor that you can point the commission to?
Well, yes. There are actually quite a number of residential planned communities in the local area that are identified on this and in an exhibit that's in your book of materials. Each of the green asterisks represent an RPC. The site is here, so it's fairly centrally located among them. There are communities like the Retreat at Love Creek, for example. There's the Reserves at Lewis Landing, the Preserve. There are about 15 of them shown there on the map that we're centered amongst.
By way of example, the Retreat at Love Creek was an AR to MR rezoning with an RPC overlay?
Yes, that's correct. In fact, for what it's worth, I was the designer of it.
You have designed and proposed this project as a condominium. Can you explain why?
Yes. For the last 17 years or so that I've developed here and designed things, we've done market study after market study, and that was done for this project as well. And invariably, it turns out that about 70% of the market are second home builders moving to retire and retirees, leaving anywhere from 25 to 30% that may be, you know, families that move in. And that's the market that we're catering to with the project. The reason for condominium ownership of single-family detached homes is simply because the folks that buy can leave their home in good care. Basically, the grounds there will be taken care of for them. It'll be taken care of in a consistent fashion, and to different extents, even portions of the home could be taken care of depending on how the condominium is set up.
Is there an earlier project in the area that you've designed that is a condominium single-family residential project?
Yes, there's Ellis Point, which is, it's actually not in the immediate area. That's in the Bethany area. There's Nassau Grove, which is in the immediate area by the Nassau Bridge at Route 1. That is a condominium single-family detached development. And, in fact, there are photographs of the houses from some of these communities in your book of material. Those Sea Colony, for example, that also is around Bethany, but that's another example of a condominium-style community.
I'm sure that's in the immediate area. But let's move on to traffic. You have a letter that was emailed to the commission at 4:15 today. What can you tell us that the developer is obliged to do by DelDOT as a result of DelDOT's traffic impact study?
Right. The developer paid into the area-wide fund, and DelDOT conducted the study on their own accord. And the recommendations for improvements include an entrance into the site itself, which would be a right turn lane into the site going south, and a dedicated left-hand turn into the site going north or northeast. A monetary contribution to DelDOT's planned intersection upgrades at Route 24 and Mulberry Knoll Road. There's actually a project on the books for that. A monetary contribution to DelDOT's planned intersection upgrades at Route 24 and Plantations Warrington Road, where there's also a project on the books on DelDOT's. A 15-foot wide permanent easement along the frontage for purposes of a multimodal path. In addition, pads for DART bus stops and marked bike lanes, all ADA compliant and so forth. And that's about the extent.
Those are built at the developer's expense, not the taxpayer's expense.
That is correct.
If you take a seat, Frank, I'm going to ask Ed to come up briefly. Ed, if you could identify yourself for the record.
I'm Ed Linnae. I'm the president of Environmental Resources Incorporated, and I've done some environmental investigations on the property.
Can you describe your professional background and training?
I have a Bachelor of Science degree in Environmental Science, Management and Planning, and a Bachelor of Arts degree in Wildlife Biology. I've been practicing environmental consulting for approximately 35 years. I'm a professional wetland scientist recognized by the Society of Wetland Scientists, and I'm a CERT-certified wetlands delineator.
Thank you. Would you describe for the commission the site in its present condition as you know it?
The site is largely developed as a horse farm. There's stables, variety of residences, pasture land, which is all actively managed as a horse farm. Essentially, if we go over here on the, there's a couple wooded areas of the site.
There's a couple wooded areas of the site, and the wooded areas of the site are pretty much associated with some wetland areas. They have a fringe of uplands around them. And the first Frank mentioned was there's an area here, a small area. It's about, I think, about 1.17 acres in size. It drains via a culvert under Route 24 to Dorman's Branch. And basically, it has a ring of upland woods around it. The other wooded area on the site is right here. That wooded area contains a portion of Hetty Fisher Pond, which is a Delmarva Bay. And, you know, essentially the current development plan would not impact any of the woods near Hetty Fisher Pond or the non-tidal wetland here as far as impact, any type of impact or clearing.
Has a jurisdictional determination been applied for?
My firm has conducted a comprehensive wetlands delineation and survey of the site. I've prepared a report, and I've submitted that to the Corps of Engineers for their review and approval as well.
Is it your understanding that no wetlands on site will be disturbed as a part of this project?
There will be no impact to wetlands as a result of the project.
You mentioned Hetty Fisher Pond. What's the present state or condition of Hetty Fisher Pond?
Hetty Fisher Pond is a Delmarva Bay. It's essentially an isolated water body surrounded by a fringe of lustrin forested wetlands. It is bordered by the Briarwood Estates. There's a number of residents that back up to the rear of it. Essentially, it currently receives some drainage from Tanglewood Drive. There's a system of swales on each side of the drive and a pipe here, and basically a drainway that takes that stormwater and directs it towards Hetty Fisher Pond. Currently, as in regard to the PLUS comments, the Delaware Natural Heritage Program commented on the pond. It is the host of two state rare species of tree frogs, potentially. And so as part of this development plan, those tree frogs would use that seasonal pools of Hetty Fisher Pond as habitat, as well as occupy the surrounding adjacent forest. So
that forest will not be disturbed?
Plan, right. There isn't going to be a disturbance of that forest.
In that regard, has the rare threatened and endangered species report been prepared?
Well, I also, there are no federally listed threatened and endangered species. I've obtained the records from the Fish and Wildlife Service in that regard. And these two tree frogs are state rare species. They're actually globally secure and much more abundant in the southern coastal plain states near the heart of their range.
But it's your testimony that their habitat in this location will not be disturbed.
That's correct. There's a couple things that I think are advantageous. Again, this will be developed in the condominium regime. So there, as Frank mentioned, there'll be a unified way that pesticides and the property will be managed. Also, in terms of stormwater management, there is a plan for some buffer strips and infiltration strips along the back of these residential units that will intercept any storm, will treat stormwater and then move it to a stormwater pond for further treatment
there would be, could be a case where there was an over, occasional overflow of that treated stormwater that would get into the pond. But it, the goal would be not to shut off all water from the pond. All the street runoff and urbanized runoff would go into this pond, and that would be directed away from the site. So essentially, the small drainage area on the site that would be draining toward Hetty Fisher Pond will pretty much just be the non-urbanized rear of these units right here.
Thanks, Ed. That's all I have. Jason, if you could come forward. Introduce yourself, please.
Good evening. I'm Jason Palkowitz with Solutions IPM here in Georgetown. And I'd say Ed did a great job with my stormwater.
He did. You're in charge of the nuts and bolts here. Can you describe the particulars about this project, from size to density to what you're talking about in terms of the site itself? What's the gross size?
I can. I'm going to be going over the pages, basically 9 through 21 through the in the booklet. I'm going to hit the highlights. That's
well,
a lot of pages.
I'll ask you, Jason, because you're going to be repeating yourself otherwise,
right.
Is to summarize compliance with 99-C, the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone ordinance, number 1842, and the plus response. If you can do that all at once, you're a magician.
I'll do my best.
All right. How about it?
The particulars. The site is 37.5 acres. Based on the RPC calculations, 151 units are allowed. This project is proposing 115 homes, which gives you a net density of 3.3 units per acre. And there is about 15 acres of open space, which is about 40%. And that open space is the pond, there's tot lots, there's just passive open space, and then the preserved wetlands and wooded areas. As far as compliance with 99 and the environmentally sensitive overlay zone, there's a lot of overlaps and a lot of things that Ed already talked about, but the big items are we are not disturbing any wetlands, we're preserving the forests. We, as mentioned, we are going to have county sewer, and public water is going to be provided by Tidewater Utilities. And as Frank mentioned, the site is driven by the topography, so we're trying not to change the topography unless we have to provide positive drainage on site. And as Ed described, stormwater management is going to be handled by the large pond on site for the majority of the site, and where it needs to be protected, we're going to take water away from it so that the amount of water that goes to the natural pond stays the same and is treated before it gets there. And all water actually is going to be treated by filter strips before it leaves the site. And those are the highlights, other than the delta, which is also talked about, which is
water and sewer.
Water is going to be provided by Tidewater Utilities, and the sewer is going to be by the county.
You did make a trip to Plus, and you did respond.
We did. We did go to Plus. And that was back in June of 2013, and we responded in August of 2013. A lot of the environmental concerns that Ed talked about were brought up at PLUS, as well as the Dell.com comments, and we've moved that process forward.
All right, last question for you, Jason. Given the proposed development of not only this project, but the Cape Henlopen School and the proposed new Troop 7, would you describe this project as an infill?
Yes, and that's clearly described, shown on also on the that zoning map showing all the RPCs in the area.
Thanks. That's all I have with Jason.
Mr. Palkowitz, before you leave, for the record, would you confirm for us that you are a registered professional engineer?
I'm sorry, I forgot to ask that question, Mr. Wheatley. It's in the book.
Yes, sir. I am a licensed registered professional engineer in the state of Delaware.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, we've tried to be brief. This project, we think, is clearly consistent with the character and trend of development of the area. We don't believe there'll be any adverse impacts. Route 24 is Route 24, but this developer, as well as other developers, will fund DelDOT's portion of road improvements, not the local taxpayer. The Route 24 improvements that are in DLDOT's five-year plan are funded 80% by the federal government and 20% by anybody who chooses to develop in that corridor. The demand for residential housing in this corridor is remarkable. The rate of absorption is rapid. We think this project is thoughtfully designed and consistent with the character of a number of planned communities in the area. I'm obliged to note one thing. The commission received a traffic impact study letter from DLDOT dated March 5. It's the report of DLDOT's independent engineers setting forth what traffic improvements will be required of the developer. For the first time in my experience, DLDOT has decided to weigh in on the land use process. If you look at page 11 and 12, it finds not only is this project consistent with the state's Quality of Life Act, DLDOT finds it consistent with the county's comprehensive plan. I think that's their job. That's all we have. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, sir. We'll see if anyone has any for you or your team, and we'll start with Mr. Burton.
I just want to review again the Hetty Fisher Pond with Mr.
Lemay, if you will,
and the what you stated is the small stormwater management pond that is there will essentially collect from the back of the residence. Will it feed into the stormwater management?
Well, there would be as it probably will be final design. There'll be some filter strips along the back of those. Kind of along the line of the wooded area in the back of those units that would butt up against the pond. And then from those filter strips, that would drain into the stormwater pond. So you could have a circumstance where you had a big rain event that would cause the stormwater, that small pond, to again overflow into Hetty Fisher Pond. That could happen, but it would be on a very large storm event where any pollutants would be seriously diluted by that. Currently, as I mentioned, though, because there are older developments, the adjacent developments really aren't subject to the current stormwater standards, and that runoff now presently goes directly into Hetty Fisher Pond.
But will the smaller stormwater management pond under normal circumstances feed back into the bigger one?
Not under, back into the bigger one? No, because of there's a lot of topography on the site. I don't think we could get the water to could possibly go that way. The other thing I'd mention, too, is that they're blessed with some relatively good well-drained soil types on the site, Eastboro and Downer. These are all pretty soils that will have a good capacity to uptake any precipitation that's on them. So I wouldn't expect that you'd get a lot of sheet runoff on those soils to begin with.
Okay, thank you. Is this project planned in any phasing?
Mr. Kate.
There's been no formal phasing established, but my experience is that a project of 100 homes would probably be built in two phases.
And the amenities that you stated was the clubhouse, essentially. Right.
The clubhouse, the swimming pool, the tot lot, and the picnic area.
And I read in the book that there's sidewalks on both sides of the...
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you. And you also mentioned the DART bus stop. Is that something that is requested by DLDOT? Or?
Yes, they asked for a concrete pad at the entrance, actually on both sides of Route 24.
The other side?
Yes, they did. Actually, both sides. On the project side and opposite.
You have to buy the land on the other side and put the pad down?
Well, that's a good question. We're going to have to straighten that out with them. Presumably, it would go in their right-of-way over there.
I just asked. Okay. Thank you very much. No further questions.
Okay. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Byard, and Mr. Key. What I have in front of me, could you explain this letter in I believe it's your figure 20 from Rubinsky Engineering. Appears to have been dated, I guess, about 15, 16 days ago. Was that your traffic impact group, or who was that?
To be clear, Mr. Smith, the traffic impact study was prepared by an independent traffic engineer hired by and paid for by DelDOT. No traffic report was prepared, but DelDOT reviewed by the developer.
Who is Rabinsky engineer?
Rabinsky is a traffic consultant that works for the developer. He interfaces with them on matters of calculation and so forth, because, frankly speaking, we don't speak that language. So, yes, he interfaces with them on it. When they come out with a letter, for example, there was an original TIS recommendation letter. So we went back, discussed it with them, then they completed their report.
Okay. Thank you. And going into a little into the style of the homes, would they be similar to what's offered at Sunset Harbor and Ellis Point?
Correct, yes.
And roughly the same square footages on three entry levels with a attached single car garage or car?
These might be two-story. The ones you're referring are very close to the water, and as a consequence, the first floor had to be built up above the 100-year floodplain. In this case, that's not the circumstance, so they would probably be two stories. In certain cases, could be three. Another example of houses like this are the houses that were built at what's known as the Avenue on Rehoboth Avenue on the right as you go in. Those were actually built by Shell Brothers, but it's a condominium-based project. There are houses like any others, and photographs are included, and the prices are about the same as you would expect in those developments as well.
So somewhere perhaps in the high $300,000 $450,000 range.
That's correct.
And some of the minutia, the drawings, I saw a reference to a zip line. Now, is that what I'm thinking of? A zip line is going across the pond, or is?
Where did you see that reference? It's a great idea, but I know it's not that.
It says a zip line going across the pond. I didn't know if the Geico picked it.
I think so. This is Jason. That's an existing zip line. There's an existing farm pond on site, and that's exactly what they do. They zip and they jump into the pond. So we're not doing that.
Wow. I'm impressed.
Yeah, that's a showstopper. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, then. We thank you, Mr. Smith. Mr. Ross, any questions?
Yes, the main pond is a wet pond. It's going to remain a wet pond.
That is correct.
And where does that overflow in heavy rain? Where does that drain?
That's going to overflow into this wetland area here. Gotcha. And out through a culvert under 24.
And how about the smaller pond near the entrance?
That also will exit the same way.
Gotcha. Okay, the wetlands regarding both the ones in the front and the Hetty Fisher wetlands, they abut common area. Generally, the housing abuts common area. Are they going to be marked for the residents to know that they are entering a wetland, or they're fragile lands? Or how are you going to let the residents there know that those lands are protected?
Well, the homeowner association documents will address the location of the wetlands, and of course, because these are condominiums, the land behind them is maintained by the homeowner association itself. We usually do not mark them, but they could be marked.
Recently, we've been moving in that direction. It's nothing in ordinance, but just to keep people from getting into trouble when they don't know they're in trouble. So mm-hmm. You know, they just. Kids will go out there and start to play, or somebody will set up a barbecue or something, or a picnic bench, and the next thing you know, there's an incursion into an area that has been protected because they just simply don't know. And so we've been kind of moving in a direction of asking, you know, for some way, you know, whether it's post or split rail fence or signage, or even using it as an educational tool, as an enhancement for your development, so people will see, hey, this is an area that you just don't want to trudge through and start putting objects in.
Right, and as you know, Mr. Lene flagged those wetlands, so we know what the limits are. We've surveyed them. It would be simple to put markers in those locations.
And if we put that as a condition, that would not be an issue, though.
No, it would not.
Speaking for myself, I think that makes sense, Mr. Ross, only because Delmarva Bays are extremely rare. Ed, how many, in your experience, exist in this area of Sussex County?
I wouldn't
I wouldn't necessarily characterize, there's more than you might imagine, but they are a rare environment. And, you know, unfortunately, I guess currently they are, which is another reason to think about some type of protection is
what we're doing with the Corps of Engineers in this circumstance is I've asked for a written jurisdictional determination, which is called a preliminary JD. It doesn't have the normal meaning of preliminary. And what that means is that there are a couple Supreme Court cases where it's been determined that if a wetland is isolated and it doesn't have a surface water connection to downstream navigable waters, it isn't regulated under the Clean Water Act. And essentially, and I think if you look in the plus comments, they acknowledge there that that particular Hetty Fisher Pond and the associated wetlands are not subject to the Clean Water Act or regulated by the Corps, nor are they state-regulated wetlands. So there's really no wetland protection per se that's afforded to them. Now, what we've asked from the Corps of Engineers is just a preliminary JD, and what that means is both the Corps of Engineers and the landowner assumes that those wetlands are regulated and operates under that assumption. In other words, they don't ask for the Corps to make a decision under distinctions of the Supreme Court decisions about wetlands as to whether or not those are regulated. So that's the kind of JD that we've asked for, but that also goes toward possibly doing some type of signage or, you know, education to you know, denote those wetland areas for the residents and for the public.
I understand. I read the application. I understand you're going a little above and beyond, and I was just trying to make sure that your intent was carried forward
right. After
the project was done, and you all are gone, and the homeowners are there, and they wouldn't know your intent to go above and beyond, and I'm
right. Just
trying to make sure that it's followed through with. Have you, but for mail, are you planning on having boxes at each condominium, or are you planning a central postage station? Or
it will either be a series of gang mailboxes throughout the community, or it'll be a postal facility within the rec center. Not sure yet. Frankly, I've done it both ways. They both work, but it'll be one or the other.
Well, again, it's nothing in code that we can ask you to do, but maybe if you talk to the post office, they could advise you what they would prefer, and you could work with them. No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. We thank you, Mr. Lank.
No questions.
Okay, Mr. Abbott.
No questions.
Council?
Just one, well, two things, but one question first, just to kind of bolster your record a little bit. One of the 99.9C things that wasn't really talked about was topography, and unlike so many applications the commission gets, this one isn't really flat. And the commission actually has denied, I think of one, based on concerns about how structures would fit onto a property that's got some pits in it and topography and things like that. This one's got some slopes to it, and I think just from driving by, there's actually some fill that's occurred on probably the northeastern side, maybe just so that we haven't left that untouched, and there's no question if Frank or, you know, somebody
Frank,
from
can
your
you
group
address
can talk the- about how you're going to address
it's
that
concern.
I mean, the topography of the site.
Yes. If you take a look at the boundary and topography that's in your book, you'll see that the roadways run parallel with topography. The entry road stays on the top of the ridge, and then the land falls off into a large depression over here, so the topography goes that way. It falls off this way toward the central pond in both directions as it comes downhill. And this also comes downhill. So the land plan was designed specifically to conform with the existing topography. That's not to say that it won't be graded to some extent. You have to. But in every case, it's developed with topography in mind.
Okay. And then just one thing for the commission, and the applicant too, more of a procedural thing. As somebody said, maybe Mr. Lang, it has to go through TAC. And one of the products of having a short period of time between application and hearing is that it hasn't gone through the TAC process. So from the TAC moment that went out, I think the office is waiting until, or the deadline that was given was March 20th. So we're going to have to leave the record open to make sure that we get all those in so that the commission has all the information to make a decision, just so that's out in the open for everybody.
Right.
So, Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, sure. We thank you. All right, then. We thank you, gentlemen. Please take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone number 1742, Seaside Communities RDC LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to change of zone number 1742?
Just have questions.
All right, sir. Come on up. Come on up here. Give us your name and ask away. If there's any way we can answer them, we'll get them answered for you.
Sure. My name is Jeff Meredith. I actually own Sussex Tree Incorporated, which is in front of your development that's planned.
Okay.
And I know there was mention about berm, I believe, on Briar Hook or Briar Wood Road. And by this drawing over here, my property, which is a little over 2 acres, is right here.
Okay.
Okay. And I noticed they've got homes like all the way around me, right here in the back. We plan on putting some type of berm or privacy because we are open 5 to 6 days a week normally. I am a tree business, so we do mulch. We are.
Let me ask our counselor a question here. Is this is what this gentleman does considered an agricultural activity?
Well, I'm not sure.
Is he
protected by the right to farm?
Let me ask a better question on this one because it follows the subdivision ordinance. Is there a buffer that's proposed around the perimeter of the site? You know, I know you talked about it. I'm just not sure where it is, and you can frankly answer that probably quicker than I could find it.
Yes, as a matter of fact, it's a required 20-foot landscape buffer, and it's landscaped to the standards that you gentlemen are aware of, which are quite dense.
Okay. And that includes just for this, I think the commission knows that, but for this gentleman's benefit, that includes all on his property.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, if for the record, if you want to show the commission and...
This is your property?
Mm-hmm.
See that dark line, that little dash line? That's a 20-foot buffer all the way around that. That's got to be landscaped.
Okay, that's good. That's the main thing that I wanted to know, because with it being dusty, you know, with us operating there, you know, Monday through Saturday.
Right.
Hour 7 to 5 normally.
Right.
I didn't want to make sure, and I know we were talking about 2 to 3 story homes, and I just wanted to make sure there wouldn't be a problem with my business being there. Well, and being a problem.
You're there.
Yeah. So. Well, I just don't want to make sure.
I appreciate your concern, and it's a good question. Mr. Light.
Mr. Meredith's business was actually a conditional use originally applied for several times by Jay Beach, the previous owner that was operating that facility. It's changed hands a couple times since, I believe.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And actually,
it does have conditional approval, et cetera, for the mulch and
right.
Yeah.
So that was my only concern. I have nothing against. I just wanted to make sure that I was covered and I don't first have people, you know, complaining about me running my business there.
Well, so, tell you what, we appreciate you coming here and voicing your concern. You'd be surprised the number of people that don't do anything until it's too late.
Sir.
Well, anything else? Was there anything else?
That's it. That's okay. I thank you for hearing me.
All right, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're next. Come on up.
Good evening. My name is James Schneider. I live at 20601 Annandale Drive in Lewis, which is part of the Hart's Landing development.
Okay.
I'm not against development in my area, and I'm not particularly against specifically this new development.
Okay.
But I am against changes in zoning that allows more units and therefore compounds the traffic situation on Route 24. I know Mr. Burtz talked about it, but I hope you would indulge me to read my statement.
Sure.
Today, our quality of life is already impacted by the heavy congestion on Route 24, but more important is the safety issues that arise from the traffic congestion. I've read the JMT traffic impact study and the DLDOT acceptance of this report, and I believe the recommendation will help but does not go far enough to improve the traffic for the future. Therefore, before further developments are approved, our government and communities must design and implement specific plans to improve the traffic situation on Route 24 for the future. Route 24 is a major road that connects the western southern portion of our state with the beaches of Lewis, Rehoboth, and Route 1. This road has become increasingly traveled and has become dangerous with many accidents. Last year, a baby was killed just to the west of the entrance to Hart's Landing when a car was turning left into a house and it was rear-ended by a second car, killing the baby. Well, along Route 24, you can see markers showing where people have died from traffic accidents. At least two Hearts Landing residents have had accidents leaving our development and turning onto Route 24, and many others have had near misses. We must improve this road. I have a lot of difficulty making a left-hand turn out of my community to go east on Route 24 in the mornings when Beacon Middle School is in session, and from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. during the weekends in the summer. At these times, I must turn right, go to Arrowhead Road, where there's a light where I can make a turn, or go down to Robbinsville Road and double back going north. This is an inconvenience for me and my fellow 144 homeowners of Hearts Landing, as well as other surrounding communities, but please visualize the safety risks that residents take if they're trying to turn into traffic. The addition of the new elementary school on Route 24, which I support, this development and the RV parks that the P&Z have already approved will make the situation only worse. The Cape Gazette reported in its January 28th issue, and I quote, "A population study completed by the University of Delaware shows district population growth concentrated along the Route 24 corridor. Board member Andy Lewis said, if community sees the growth area, people will understand why the board chose the Route 24 location. If the school board and the University of Delaware can see the growth along the 24 corridor, then I don't understand why DelDOT and this commission can't support this growth with infrastructure improvements that reduce the safety risk and add to taxpayers' quality of life. I believe it's only fair to offer possible solutions to the problem, so here are a few of my recommendations. I would suggest making Route 24 a two-lane road in each direction from the Love Creek Bridge to Route 1, and eliminate left-hand turns. Put a light at Mulberry Knoll Road, which is in the plans, but also put a jug handle or a clover leaf at that location so that you get rid of those left-hand turns. Also, do it the same thing at Plantation Road. Make the entrance to the new elementary school off of Mulberry Knoll Road so it's not coming in off of the Route 24, and ask the school board to make the entrance to the Beacon Middle School also off of Mulberry Knoll on the other side. Remove the light at the current entrance to the middle school and move it to the entrance where Hearts Landing and Brookhammer Estates are so people can make left-hand turns or get out of those communities. In summary, to continue growing Sussex County and increasing the value of our area, we must plan for the future and not look at things one thing at a time. We need a broader infrastructure plan that will meet the expected growth. And as I previously stated, I'm not against this development, and I would be for the development if proper changes are made to Route 24. I'd like to give this to Mr. Lank to add to the record.
Absolutely. Please do.
I'm glad to.
Thank you.
I don't have to hold this tape so I can figure all that out.
That's very helpful. Very helpful. Thank you.
Mr. Snyder, can I ask you?
Yes, sir.
How much, we share your concerns, by the way, on transportation. How much control do you think the county has over transportation issues?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you, but obviously DelDOT's a state organization, and the county works with the state on traffic. And to be honest, I don't know how much control you have. But whatever control you do have, I would appreciate if you could work with the state and with DelDOT to make improvements.
Well, just so you know, we have as much control as you have.
Highways are really a state jurisdiction, but you're right. We do need to work together. We try to work together. At the end of the day, they're the ones with the say, you know. And I really appreciate your suggestions, and they are part of the record. And the applicant has been here. They've heard them. Their project isn't approved yet, but if it gets approved, perhaps they can take some of that into consideration as well.
And quite frankly, for their people that are going to be buying houses in their development, they're going to want improvements to 24 also. So I believe it's in their best interest also.
Well said.
Right. Thank you very much for your time.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak? Anyone on the commission have any questions?
There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.